Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do Rogers, Act One.
My dear niece, I'm writing you this letter in explanation of certain recent actions of mine about which you are probably curious. You will recall that it was upon your advice that I placed the advertisement in our local paper, and you will probably recall its text. Quote, widowed woman, genteel, some secretarial experience, drives own car, desires position of interest with reliable business house. Address Mrs. Emily Rogers, Box 2B, or phone Hilton 22412. Hello?
Mrs. Emily Rogers, please.
This is she speaking.
I'm calling about the ad you ran in yesterday's paper.
Oh, yes.
I think I can offer you a position you'd be interested in, Mrs. Rogers. My name is Bruce.
Yes, Mr. Bruce?
We're a very small publishing house, Mrs. Rogers, and we need someone to take care of any of the contacts we might wish to make in your part of the country.
Oh, you aren't from the Hilton then?
No. Our offices are in Los Angeles. We'd pay you $500 a week, providing you could use your home as an office. Although, there wouldn't be much office work required. And, as I said, the position primarily would be one of establishing contacts.
Why, it sounds fine, Mr.
Bruce.
It sounds fine, Mr. Bruce.
Good. And consider yourself under salary, beginning immediately, Mrs. Rogers. I'll phone you again as soon as there's something more definite for you to do.
And that's how I got the job. I assumed naturally that I would immediately receive instructions from Mr. Bruce as to how I should go about establishing contacts. But the first word I had after the telephone conversation was when the postman arrived the next Saturday with an envelope for me, containing a check for $500. There was no return address on the envelope, and the check was a personal one, bearing no company name. It was signed R. L. Bruce. 3 weeks went by in this fashion. Each Saturday, I would receive the $500 check in the mail, and I began to wonder what I was being paid for when at last I had heard from Mr. Bruce. Hello?
I have your first assignment for you, Mrs. Rogers.
Really? I was beginning to wonder, Mr. Bruce.
Getting impatient, were you? Well, this will keep you busy for a while.
Really?
A Mr. Paul Stevens will arrive in Hilton this afternoon. He's one of our most promising new authors.
Yes?
Mr. Stevens has some rewriting to do on a novel we plan to publish in a few months. Too many people interrupt him here in Los Angeles. I wonder, could you put him up at your home until he finishes?
Why, I don't know.
He'll be no bother, Mrs. Rogers. He has an awful lot of work to do.
Well, yes, I suppose I could.
Perfect. It's just a place for him to get away. And one more thing, Mrs. Rogers.
Yes?
Just so we're sure he's not bothered, don't tell anybody he's staying with you.
And that's all I knew of the job, my dear niece. A Mr. Paul Stevens would phone me when he arrived in Hilton, and I was to let him stay at my home until he had finished a novel he was writing. It seemed ridiculously easy, but at least I would be doing something for my pay. It was quite late in the afternoon, almost 5 o'clock, when the telephone rang. Hello?
Mrs. Rogers?
This is Mrs. Rogers.
This is a Paul Stevens, Mrs. Rogers.
Oh, yes, Mr. Stevens. I've been expecting your call.
I wonder if you could have picked me up.
Of course.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
Where are you?
I'm at the corner of, just a minute. Of Brookside and Sierra Madre.
Fine. The corner of Brookside and Sierra Madre. I'll be driving a black Buick coupe.
Black Buick coupe. I'll be waiting. Bye.
Goodbye, Mr. Stevens. When I arrived at the corner of Brookside and Sierra Madre, the usually quiet intersection was filled with people and an ambulance was just pulling away. For all I knew, Mr. Stevens could be in it. Then I saw Officer Barnes in the police car. He would know.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Rogers.
My goodness, what happened here?
A hit-and-run accident a few minutes ago.
Who was hit?
Man, about 35. No identification yet.
Was he badly hurt?
He's dead.
Oh, how awful.
Yeah.
I was supposed to meet someone, a gentleman, here. A Mr. Paul Stevens.
I'll be glad to call you when we get an identification on him.
Would you? I'd be very grateful.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good day.
I went slowly back to where I had parked. I was confused and frightened a little that the hit-and-run victim might have been Paul Stevens. And, if so, how would I get in touch with Mr. Bruce to tell him what had happened to his young author?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-